It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Monday, September 15th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Cord cutters may be about to get some of the best news they've heard in years. People who have killed off their cable subscription despite their love for HBO shows have been hoping that they could one day just stream the network's content for a price. And now Time Warner may be considering it. Reporter Stan Alcorn will now commence with a zillion Game of Thrones quotes.
When it comes to highbrow must-see TV, the throne belongs to HBO.
I am the king!
HBO's Game of Thrones had an audience of nearly 7 million per episode last season. And for 13 years straight, the network has racked up more primetime Emmys than any other. If content is king, as the cliche goes, the cable companies should be kneeling.
So that's the gambit, right?
Dan Porter is the head of digital at William Morris Endeavor.
The gambit is the content is king. And while you might alienate the cable people, you have the leverage. You could certainly say that that is true for professional sports.
Porter says the NFL can afford to sell access to games online because the cable industry can't survive without it. But IDC analyst Greg Ireland points out that HBO isn't even master of its own fate.
It's part of Time Warner. Time Warner has other pay TV channel properties.
And those channels may be harder to sell when they don't come with an exclusive pass to the Seven Kingdoms of Westeros. In New York, I'm Stan Alcorn for Marketplace.
The deadline for the public to weigh in to the FCC on the matter of net neutrality is today, and the flood of comments has topped 1.5 million in number. Many are worried that a future of fast lanes, where certain websites could pay internet providers extra for quicker delivery of their content, would hurt innovators and consumers. But the FCC is a regulator, not a political body easily swayed by polling. Carrie Colonessi is a professor of law and political science at the University of Pennsylvania. Carrie, thanks for joining us.
Glad to be here.
Who is the poor guy or gal who has to read all 1.5 million public comments? Does that person exist? And do we feel sorry for them?
We should feel a little bit sorry, but that person certainly has job security. It's actually more than just one person. And the reality is it's not the 1.5 million comments that will get read most closely, but the ones filed by various technology and communications companies, those will get a lot of attention.
So how then will the feedback received shape what the FCC does next?
So the 1.5 million number is not likely to make a whole lot of difference to staff members at the FCC, but it speaks clearly to members of Congress who may hold additional hearings on this subject and put some pressure on the FCC.
Speaking of pressure, Tom Wheeler seems like he's in a pretty tight spot here. What do you do if you're him? What is he really looking at here in terms of his options?
He should be thinking about this in terms of what ultimately he would have to defend in court. It is a very political environment. There's no question about it. The commissioners knew this was a big issue even before they got 1.5 million comments.
What do you think is interesting or surprising about this debate as it has evolved over the last year, over the summer?
It's very clear how much this reveals the internet has woven itself into our daily lives. This matters as much to Americans today as the air we breathe. It's interesting, if you look at the history of other rules that have garnered a high volume of comments, and they all have that same characteristic of dealing with a product that we're intimately connected to. In 1995, the Food and Drug Administration was proposing to regulate cigarettes. 2000, the Department of Agriculture did a rulemaking on organic foods. And those food products, things we drink, the air we breathe, and now the internet that we all live in.
Carrie Colonisi is a professor of law and political science at the University of Pennsylvania. He's also head of the university's project on government regulation. Carrie, thank you very much.
Thank you.
So last week, I went to San Francisco to hang out at TechCrunch's event Disrupt. I sat down with many of the event's big names, Mavericks owner Mark Cuban, Detroit billionaire Dan Gilbert, even Emmett Shear, the CEO of Twitch. But first, one of the event's focus points is finding the big names of the future among the startups there. Everywhere I turned at the hulking Pier 48 building, somebody was pitching something. So here's a taste, a few of the endless line of young entrepreneurs talking about their hopes, their dreams, and their products. For instance, a piece of tech you could fit onto a robot arm for picking up and moving electronics or cloth on a production line.
My name is Lawrence Malagaya. I'm from Grabit Incorporated. So we create flexible gripping solutions using electrostatic electroadhesive surfaces.
Basically, you make a brick-sized thing that grabs onto flat things.
Yeah. So we're looking for partnerships and customers at the moment.
I also talked with Chris Murdoch at Athier Labs, which makes some augmented reality goggles you can interact with.
We make a pair of smart glasses that you can interact with through gestures, and it produces a virtual tablet in front of your eyes.
Okay, I'm putting these things on. I have them on now. All right, I've successfully selected Google Maps. What is that? Where am I at? Japan? Oh, now I'm in your Gmail. Okay, all right, hold on. I'm going back. What do you hope this will be one day?
So we want to target enterprise customers, so like a virtual tablet for a field service engineer, should they run into like any complications with the machinery that they'd be working on.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Much more where that came from as the week continues. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.